Welcome to an AvWeb AudioCast for Friday, May 16th, 2008, from AvWeb, the Internet's general aviation news service and magazine. Brought to you today by Kit Planes Magazine. In September 2004, Hurricane Frances battered the southeast, causing widespread flooding. Now in the path of the storm was Morganton, North Carolina, where a rare piece of history, a Fairchild 24, was subsequently submerged and by all measures should have been lost. But Bradley Bormuth is here to tell us how and why he restored her to flying condition. Bradley, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
Appreciate you taking the time with us. And what do you do professionally, if you don't mind me asking?
I am a certified flight instructor, Hickory Regional Airport in North Carolina, and I'm looking to get into corporate aviation.
Well, great. Did you go through a flight school or you did it on your own?
I went through a flight school associated with a local community college. It's a two-year program, got an associate's degree for it.
Okay.
And now I'm instructing for that same flight school.
Building those hours.
Yes.
All right. Let's go back to September 2004. Hurricane Frances is headed your way. Did you guys have any idea there was going to be flooding at the airport?
No, none whatsoever. Hurricane Frances was actually supposed to continue right on up past the mountains, but instead, unforecast, it actually stalled over the mountains and dropped about 10 inches of rain widespread through the area. The rivers and our reservoirs couldn't handle it, and flooding happened after that.
So when did you realize that the river was going to come out of its banks and the airplanes were going to be in danger?
Well, it actually happened in the dead of night. We were all asleep waiting for the hurricane was supposed to pass over at night, but it stalled out, and nobody had realized it. When I woke up in the morning to go to school, I got a phone call said that the school was canceled because there were bridges that were underwater. We were concerned about the flooding, so we thought we'd go out to the airport and see what was going on out there. You know, the lower part of the airfield actually submerges every now and then, but it doesn't get anywhere near to the hangars. Mm-hmm. And when we got down there, it's just the hangar was completely underwater, about 4 or 5 feet of water at the time.
Now, this is your dad's airplane, right?
Yes, it is.
Now, you come around the corner and you realize the airplane's under 6 feet of water?
It was about 4 feet at the time.
What goes through your mind when you see that?
It's like, wow, is this really happening? Where'd all this water come from? This isn't supposed to happen.
And where is my airplane?
Yeah.
In the midst of all that.
Yes.
There were several planes in the hangar, and most of them, if not all of them, were totaled by the insurance company, right?
Yes, those that were insured, most of them were totaled.
What about your airplane? What was the situation there?
Eventually, the insurance company did decide to total the airplane based on estimates that would cost to repair it.
Mm-hmm. But you weren't going to have that. This is a rare piece of history. How long had you guys owned the airplane?
We had acquired the airplane back in the earlier middle 1990s. So we had it for roughly 10 years before the flood.
So the water recedes in about 3 days. Pick the story up from there and tell us how you got this airplane from being underwater to making fly-ins like Lakeland and Oshkosh.
When the water receded, it left about an inch thick sludge in the hangar and on the road and in the grass everywhere around. So before we could really get in to look at the airplane, we had to wash all that stuff away because it was extremely slippery.
Sure.
But once we did, we pulled the airplanes out and started assessing the situation. And we got in contact with the insurance company, and they allowed us to do some preservation work, cleaning it out and try to get the engine running again. And we were able to clean it out, and we were going through trying to clean it out. It's extremely hard to clean out. There's a lot of oil products on an airport, and
absolutely,
a lot of that oil had come out of their containers or out of the concrete and covered the top of the water. So as the water actually froze, it coated most everything in the airplane and on the airplane with a little bit of oil.
Sure.
But if you think about it, kind of preserved the metal and everything in the airplane for a while, but it also did make it a little bit harder to clean off. We got it all cleaned out and spent about 2 days working on the engine, getting all the water out, getting it dried out and cleaned out. And we were able to get it started 3 days later, and we ran it for a couple hours. We just continued the preservation, cleaning and drying, and waiting for the insurance company to come back with their suggestion, and they ended up totaling the airplane. And we had a clause in our insurance contract for right of first refusal, which we did take advantage of and purchased the airplane back. And we took the engine off and sent it out for an overhaul at the Radial Engines Limited in Guthrie, Oklahoma. Came back, superb engine overhaul job. We had to take out most of the instruments were crashed. They were all corroded, and so we had to replace most of the instruments, but I was able to locate some instruments from that period, that era of time back in the 1940s, and we put those in. I was also able to locate a VFR moving map GPS at a very good price, which we had installed as well. But
you had plans to send the engine off all along, but what was the point of running the engine? Just to get the moisture out of it so there wouldn't be further corrosion or something?
Yes. It's kind of a double-edged sword if you think about it. We were running the engine to dry it out, to get the water out so it wouldn't corrode. We weren't sure about the sediments or contaminants in the water that might be scratching or destroying the engine as we were running it.
Sure.
When we sent the engine off for overhaul, it came back, and the person who did the overhaul called us up and said that that engine was, or seemed to be, getting ready to fail. It was having some problems, especially with the master bearing. And
Was that related to being submerged?
Don't think so. Seems that that was happening before the flood. So
okay.
Well, in a way, the flood might have prevented us from having an engine failure.
Well, there you go. That might be a little blessing right there in disguise, as they say.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got the engine back. You had some help from some friendly A&Ps and went through the whole airplane, right?
Yes, I did. I was working with the local mechanic that we've been working with on that airplane since the very beginning when we got the airplane, Greg Deal. He has a lot of experience working with the old aircraft and fabric and wood, steel tube fuselage. Working with him, we were able to clean everything up and make sure everything was safe to fly in accordance with the FAA, and got all the paperwork done, and they approved it.
Now, how long did it take you to complete that process?
We were working on and off every now and then over a period of about 2 years.
So the airplane has been restored, and I hear through the grapevine you've been showing up at some air shows and fly-ins around the country.
Yes, I've made it to Oshkosh and Sun and Fun over the past couple of years. If you've been down there, you might have actually seen it down there.
I did go on your website, which is really cool. There's a video on there, an in-cockpit flight video. That was really cool. And that's www.airventuring.org. Now, you're a volunteer at Oshkosh, I understand?
Every year up at Oshkosh, I'll go up there, and I work with Custom Aircraft Parking. They're the people that park all the home-built aircraft. I'll help out with parking and crowd control out in that area and along the taxiway that goes up past Warbirds. And I also am a point-qualified person. We go out on the taxiways, and we're actually the people you see out there directing the aircraft around to where they're supposed to park.
Hey, Bradley, it's been fun talking to you.
Same with you.
And thanks from the aviation community. Thanks for bringing that airplane back and saving a part of aviation history. Today's audiocast was brought to you by Kit Planes Magazine. Learn more or subscribe at www.kitplanes.com. Comments on today's audiocast welcome. AudioNews@avweb.com. And for breaking general aviation news, it's www.avweb.com. Mike Blakeney reporting for Avweb Audio. Thanks so much for listening.